Hello everyone, welcome to the Microsoft Virtual Academy series, ITIL for IT Professionals. My name is Nathan Lesnowski, I'm the Director of Infrastructure and Architect at Concurrency, and I'm going to be covering today service design. And in service design, we're going to talk about a portion of the ITIL framework, and we're going to dig into how it helps a common IT professional to be more effective in their daily work. So what is service design? What is this all about? Service design is about taking intent to reality. It's about taking the thing that you want to deliver to the business and then pushing it out into production in a structured way. What I like to say is that service design is all about first taking what you intend and then making it real. And being intentional about what you're intending to deploy into production allows us to be careful. It allows us to be structured, allows us to measure and meet and set expectations around what we're delivering to the business. So in service design, we're organizing what we want to deliver so that way our customers get the best experience possible. So where this starts is it starts from receiving the strategy from the previous phase and taking that strategy and incorporating it into a structure design that we then organize requirements around, build an architectural model for, create a specific design for, now in the service design process, and then deploy that design into production in the following phase, which is called service transition. So service design allows us to be able to take things which oftentimes come in an unstructured way, or things that come in a structured way through a project, and bring them in a normalized pattern into our production world. The reality of it is that a lot of our businesses function very unstructuredly. We receive a lot of inputs into our daily IT processes that are not well organized, and we're asked to organize them. So what you can keep in mind is that service design is not just for incorporating new services, but it's also for looking at the things you're presently doing and then taking those things you're presently doing and organizing them so you understand what the model you're using to deliver them is. So for example, if you're currently deploying a new email service or a new customer ordering service, that service requires an architectural model that came from service strategy. It also requires a detailed model of what is the impact of the service on authentication? What's the impact on my infrastructure? What servers is it going to go on? What assets am I going to use? Who's the primary owner? These different elements that go into the design. If I already have a customer ordering application in production, I can capture a lot of that information from my current environment. And I can use that current environment to be able to inform my overall service catalog. So this allows for me to be able to be very structured and very intentional. So what are the elements that go into service design? Well, what I like to talk about is something called a service design package. A service design package are the principal elements that go into a service design. Now, a service design package can be either basic or full. I'm just going to cover what a basic service design package might look like in this particular example. A complex service design package could be 3 or 4 times larger than this. Let's start with this as sort of a bare minimum when we're talking about the things that we're delivering to the business. So let's talk about perhaps something that we already have in place in our business, communication services. Most of us are already delivering email or IM or video services to our customers in the business already. We have some service around this. So if I was talking to my business users, I would say, okay, I have a name for the thing I deliver to the business. I have a reason why I'm delivering it. My name is Communication Services. The description is it delivers email, instant message, and video. It has a criticality to the business. So it's either something that sort of is a benefit to us, it makes us more efficient, it provides a sort of secondary benefit to the business, or it's something like a business critical application. For a lot of companies, email is a business critical application. It's necessary for us to be able to make money. It's necessary for us to be able to serve our customers. So in this case, business critical means I need this service to function as a business. I have an individual who's my primary owner for the business service. That individual is the person who is the buck stops here individual in IT for that particular service. We also have an owned by organization. In this case, it's Concurrency. That's my company. So when we're talking about the owned by organization, we're saying, what organization or sub-organization is this ultimately used by and ultimately owned by? We may even have a separate field called the used by organization, which complements the owned by organization. We have an availability requirement, so it may be 99%, it may be 99.99%. It could be even a structured availability requirement that says, during these certain hours, we expect 99.9, but outside of these hours, we don't really require availability at all. An example might be a company that delivers training materials, and those training materials only have to be available during certain hours. Or training labs for schools only need to be available during certain hours, and outside those hours, they might be able to reformat those systems. So availability requirements allow for us to be able to understand our own expectations that we're setting to the business. The affected users are the people who use the service. So in this case, you can see it's communication services users. And then we also have support teams. The support teams are the people who are ultimately responsible for supporting that particular service once it's in production. So you can see that these different elements of information that I'm gathering around the service are taking the service that we talked about in our service strategy or an existing service that we already have in production and articulating what we're delivering and also what are the elements that go into being successful with that particular service and who supports it. And many businesses don't have this information for either new services or existing services. So this is something that's sort of new to some companies. So when we take this idea of articulating a service design and where that package goes, what are the tools that support it? Well, Microsoft tools have a sort of unique space in this area. Service Manager is a System Center tool. System Center Service Manager is what we would call the IT Business Service Repository. The business service is that thing we deliver to the business. It's the communication services or customer ordering application, but also it is the container for the service design package content. So when I define who the people are that are responsible for that service, or what the availability requirement is, or what the description of that service is, that content is also going in Service Manager. However, we also have other tools that complement this. So other tools we're also going to prep during the service design package to be able to provide information. So for example, Operations Manager in the System Center space might be used to gather availability information. Or other tools like Azure, for example, might be used in the actual topology. So we're planning out the service design package and saying, this is the content of how we're going to configure this particular system, and here's where it's going to get deployed, and its costs, and its assets. We might say it's going to get deployed in Azure, it's going to use a scalable web role, we're going to have this connectivity to on-premise authentication through ADFS. We're going to have these different elements of our design that's going to be stored in our CMDB and used over time. So this is a very important practice because it allows for us to take that idea, that intent, and bring it into reality by defining the what of what we're actually deploying. So what I'm going to show now is an element of the service design package inside the context of Microsoft Service Manager. All right, so now you can see that we are inside the console of Microsoft System Center Service Manager. This is one of several user experiences for System Center Service Manager. We can access this information I'm going to show you from its web console, from a web analyst console, from partners like Cyrosyn, as well as from the thick console that we have here. Now what you can see in front of you is that we have different elements of configuration, and what I'm focusing on is the business services, because that's ultimately what we're designing a service design package around. So when I look at my services, I can see things like network connectivity services and customer ordering services and certificate services and portal and collaboration, and they're tied to different data elements and they're sorted on different data elements. So I'm going to open up one that I'm currently in a process of provisioning. This got provisioned during my service strategy phase, and this is now going to be moved through the service design package. So I'm going to open this up. So I've defined the name of the thing I deliver to the business. I've delineated its classification, the description of what it delivers to the business. A way to think about this would be, let's say that you have 200 different services that you deliver to the business. Classification is a way to take those 200 services and put them in a bigger bucket. How can I break those 200 services into maybe 20 categories that allow for me to then make decisions around my aggregate of business services? That's something that we want to make sure we don't lose focus of, because ultimately we need to use this information to be able to make decisions long term. We need to use this to aggregate the different processes that we perform up to one aggregate decision-making tree. So the classification provides us that opportunity. The owned by organization of concurrency allows for me to articulate who is it that ultimately runs the service. It may not be who necessarily uses it, it's really who runs the service, who delivers it to the customers. So if I had sub-organizations and maybe my sub-organization runs a particular service out of their branch office but delivers it to the greater corporate community, I might have an opportunity to then say, okay, maybe I'm looking toward a centralization strategy and saying, maybe I should take those services that are currently run by some of my sub-organizations and move those back into my central organization. Or perhaps I'm looking at sort of a distributed model that some of my smaller apps can be run in these local businesses and I want to distribute it down. So it allows for me to understand where they run out of. It also allows me to understand its particular priority. Keep in mind all these different phases can be customized. So if I were to say, look, I want a critical, high, medium, low, but I also maybe have another status like supercritical, it allows for me to be able to define specific statuses. Sometimes people change these to more non-relative terms. So you can see critical, high, medium, low. There's a little bit of subjectivity to that kind of term. You might be able to change it to something like mission critical or performance categorization or some kind of term that allows for us to be able to define how it helps us. Maybe it's a convenience instead of a mission critical app. We also have its status. In this case, I can see that it's currently in the requested process. Once I have my service design package completed, I may move it to an in-provisioning process. That would allow for me then to move it from phase to phase. I can also see some other useful information that I would document before I choose to deploy this into production. I have my service owner, Jim Savage. I have the contacts. These are individuals in IT who are my principal analysts for this tool set. They're the people who are ultimately helping make it better from the IT perspective. I have my service customers who are usually my main business stakeholders. So since this is a customer ordering service, these are my three salespersons that I've included as key stakeholders to help me make the service better. So I would go to them and I'd say, how can I do a customer ordering service 2.0 that serves some of the things that are missing in a 1.0? I also have the affected users who, as you can see, is the entire sales group. So it allows for me to be able to get quite a bit of information that I potentially don't have right now. I find that a lot of businesses who don't have this information find just starting with this list, gathering it from their existing business services that they deliver to their customers, and then also starting around bringing new services in with just this as a minimum, allow them to make better decisions. You can also see I'm setting my availability schedule. This is something that I can marry up to Operations Manager to be able to get that performance characteristic from the system. I also have service components. So service components can contain elements of that service as well as related items. So you can see, for example, that I have a change request related to the deployment of my customer ordering application that exists within the context of my service design package. So that's something we'll be talking about a little bit next time on service transition, where we say, how do I take this thing that I'm now operating and can deliver to my business users, and how do I push that into production in a way which allows for me to be able to control it in an effective way? All right, so now that we've walked through an example of a service design package, how do we take this and we take it into reality? What are our next steps? So I'm going to ask a couple practical questions here. First, do you have a service design package or template in your business? Do you have a way to be able to capture the elements of a particular business service before you deploy it to production or an existing business service? And I would say that different non-standardized versions of this don't count. Do you have an existing standardized way of delivering this particular type of documentation? I find a lot of projects have some documentation with them, but it tends to be pretty out of date by the time we get to looking around at it. So you've got some Visio documents, you might have a Word document tied to it, but ultimately you don't have one place that you're going to. You don't have one standardized capture process as a gate between the discussion about the strategy and the actual implementation of that strategy. Also, do I have documentation of my production services? So even if I don't have that gate right now, what do I have for what I'm actually running? What I usually recommend is that people start by defining the information in the service design package that's important to them, and then capture that information about their existing production services. Imagine going to the business and having them say, I want to cut 25% of your budget. Can you tell me what you'd like to cut out of that 25% of the budget? A lot of businesses, they don't really know what they deliver to their customers. They don't know what it costs. They don't know who's responsible for it and who they'd even go to talk about how they could reduce costs in different areas. So documenting your production services is a really important step. Also, how do I capture my responsibilities? Do you have a standardized RACI process that you go through to say, who's responsible, who's accountable, who's consulted? So how do I know who I'm actually including in these individual service design processes? And also, how do I know who's supporting these later? How do I document my designs? And then finally, if I'm not defining what it is I'm delivering, and if I'm not defining what it is that I have as that builds up into what I'm delivering, and I'm not defining my actual expectations, how do I measure my performance? So this is really all about defining, before I put it into production, how I'm measuring the performance of my application, how I'm measuring my performance supporting my application, and how do I set expectations for not just end users, but also my IT people to deliver on those expectations. So you'll find that the things we're talking about here will flow into the next discussion on service transition. And we're really going to start getting our feet in the mud talking about how do I take this particular service I've designed and document it in my business service catalog. How do I take that service design and I push it into the production state? So next time, we'll talk about service transition, we'll talk about planning for the movement to production, and we'll talk about the idea of a pre-flight checklist and what that means for our service transition process. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast today, and I'll see you next time on Microsoft Virtual Academy.